Today on Real Radio.
Jesus, the baby at Christmas, came and delivers us from what was due to us. That is the Christmas story.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack steps aside from his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the light of the Christmas holiday, we're presenting a four-part series. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called His Majesty, the Coming King.
When Jesus Christ came, he brought us revelation. So what does that mean? He brought us revelation. In the coming of Jesus Christ, he revealed to us the very nature, the very purpose, and the things or the issues that you and I need to receive from God. When Jesus came, he brought certain things for us. And one of them is this. He revealed to us God's grace. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this. God's grace. He revealed to us the grace of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, that for God there who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, that is, we were lost in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. I want to spend a moment on the fact that when Jesus Christ came at Christmas, he revealed to us God's grace. Many cults, if not all of them, will say, oh, you Christians, you're so big on grace. You guys use the grace of God. Well, let me say this first of all. The Bible, as you saw a moment ago, announces that we cannot be saved without God's grace. So what we want to do is find out what's the definition of God's grace. There is no salvation without his grace. The word means this, unearned, unmerited favor. It is a willful, listen, sovereign act of the Lord to determine, I will pour out my grace, unearned favor. Now, what is his grace in association with? Salvation. Jesus Christ went to the cross. The Bible tells us that he died there for the sins of mankind. The invitation goes out for all of us to receive Christ. The Bible calls that being born again. Jesus invites us to know him. You say, oh, I don't want to know him. That's your choice. You don't have to know him. I just want you to know. He invites you to know him. If God begins to stir your heart, or for many of us who are believers, God did stir our hearts at some point in time. That happened by God's grace, by an unearned favor that God bestowed upon us. Church, listen, you cannot have the grace of God and a legalistic relationship with God. It's impossible. You can't do it. It's oil and water. It cannot mix. God looked down and in his grace made invitation. Pastor, can I tithe enough to impress God so that I'm sitting well with him? Answer, no. Can I pray long enough to earn God's smile? Answer, no. Can I lead so many people to Christ and then God is now somehow indebted to me and needs me? Answer, no. God's grace is mutually exclusive from our efforts. We need to remember this. But Jack, shouldn't we witness to people to lead them to Christ? Yes. Shouldn't we tithe and give opportunity for the church to expand and to grow and get the word of God out? Of course. None of those things save us. None of those things impress God. Those are things that we should do because the grace of God has been spread abroad or poured out abundantly in our lives. You can't get saved by any effort on your own or on your parts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a great German pastor during the rise of Adolf Hitler. And Bonhoeffer was one of the few guys who stood up against Hitler. Of course, he was strung up and hung to death with a piano wire. for having preached the gospel and telling the Führer that he was not the Lord, that Jesus was the Lord. It cost him his life. But he went to heaven, wonderful man of God. He wrote a book. I highly recommend you read it. It's entitled The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In the opening chapter of that book, he talks about the grace of God. And in that chapter, he says, you can never call God's grace cheap because it cost him everything he had. It cost him the life of his son Jesus. Think of that. Why do I say that? Because many cult members will say, oh, you Christians hide behind that grace, that cheap grace. Oh, no, 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 no. It cost us nothing. It costs God everything, and it makes it priceless. It's absolutely precious. Remember that. When Jesus Christ came, he brought revelation to us, and number one, that revelation is of the grace of God. You and I stand here today by the grace of God. The older I get, the more I need the grace of God. The more I study the Bible, the more I realize I need the grace of God. God's grace is what he looks to you and those things in your life and mine that we cannot ever see happen in our lives, God does. He's so very good to us. Secondly, the revelation of God's mercy. That's what Jesus brought to us when he came. That little baby born in Bethlehem, the majesty that was on high came down and dwelt among us. He revealed to us what God's grace is and what God's mercy is. Now, grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What comes to my mind is what happened to me last week. I was in my car, in my truck. Did you know this? Your front wheels cannot touch the crosswalk. I found that out this week. The front wheels went over that white line. And I thought Rudolph was behind me after that happened. But it wasn't Rudolph. It was a nice officer there on a motorbike there. And so I'm thinking, oh, Lord, grace. And absolute mercy. I pulled over, he asked for the registration and all that stuff, the license, all the stuff that he asked for, and I'm praying, Lord, mercy and grace. How would that apply? Mercy. First of all, mercy would be the officer saying, you know, you didn't blow through the crosswalk. You kind of just went over the first line there. It's Christmas. I'm going to tear up this ticket. God bless you and have a nice day. That would have been mercy. He would not have given me what I deserve. Even though I'm a really nice guy, I broke the law and I deserve justice. Frankly, I broke the law. What do you think it's illegal for? I broke it. I have to pay the price. Mercy would have said, no, 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 no ticket. I'm going to tear it up. Grace would have been, well, seeing how I tore it up and I've extended you mercy, you want to get on my bike and run it around town for a little bit and see how it goes? That would have been grace. I didn't get what I deserved. He would have tore up the ticket. By the way, he did not tear up the ticket. And I didn't get any grace out of it either. I didn't get to ride the bike or play with the siren or turn on the lights. God says, listen, Merry Christmas to you. My son Jesus came, and by the grace of God, you get what you don't deserve, that's salvation through him, and I bestow mercy upon you in that you are not getting what you deserve. The believer this morning, the Christian this morning, if you've put your faith in Christ, God will not exercise his justice and judgment upon you. And you say, well, Jack, who's worthy of that? That doesn't seem anybody's worthy of that. Excellent observation. No one's worthy of that. God is gracious and merciful. In Jude chapter 1, verse 21, Jude says this, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourself in the love of God. You say, well, Jack, isn't that some sort of works-centered thing? Not at all. Simply means this. Go where God is. Be where the Lord is. Stand under his umbrella, as it were. Now, it's a beautiful sunshiny morning. It was raining earlier this morning. If you were to go out into the rain, what would you take with you so you don't get wet? An umbrella. It's hard for us to imagine what an umbrella looks like living in Southern California in the midst of a drought. But you think about that umbrella covers you from the elements. That is what keeping ourselves in the love of God looks like. I'm going to go to church, not that it saves you, but you fellowship together, you sing together, you study the Word of God together. God's commanded us to do that. You are keeping yourself in the love of God. You read the Bible. You do the Bible. That's keeping yourself in the love of God. Not to save you and not to see to it that God loves you, but God has called you and I to do this. And because we are His children, we seek to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's why you and I need to be together as brothers and sisters, that we not be isolated, that we be growing together, that we be one together, minister together, pray together. That's what the Lord would have of us. But the wonderful thing to keep in mind regarding this is that in His mercy, He positions you and I as we are under the umbrella of the Lord. We are now positioned to receive what God has for us. You can be a Christian this morning. You can have your name written down in heaven and be backslidden. In a picturesque sense, if you're backslidden, it means you're not walking with Him and you've stepped out from underneath the umbrella. And life is hard to live like that. It's a struggle. Things are difficult. You wonder why things are rough and hard and you don't have an appetite for God and what's going on. You need to come back to Him that has come under that umbrella of the Lord again and walk in His love. He's merciful, church. Listen, He's merciful to bring you back. He's so kind and gracious and merciful. Thirdly, regarding His revelation, Jesus showed us that little baby born in Bethlehem brought us peace, the revelation of God's peace. The Bible tells us, we said it last week, we'll say it again, in Isaiah 9:6, the scripture says, unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's an interesting term. The word means Father of Time. Jesus is the Father of Time. And Prince of what? Peace. That word means that through Jesus Christ, peace can come to our lives. Oh, please hear this. I am not by any means putting anyone down for whatever they may have in their life. I'm not picking on that. But you can go about this life trying to obtain and to acquire as much of this world as you can, thinking it's going to bring you peace. And the Bible speaks about a peace that cannot be had by material things. Right now, your lungs are taking in air. And you're not even thinking about it. You're taking it in and breathing it out, taking it in and breathing it out. There's nothing in this world that you can buy to enhance that. That is the kindness of God. When you think about the peace that God offers to a person, you can buy that car, get that house, or do that thing, or make that pursuit, and you will not have the peace that Jesus Christ can bring. And I know that sounds hard, but listen to this. What He offers to you is a peace that is beyond this world. It is not of this physical world. When that precious manger housed that wonderful little child, that child was sent from heaven down to earth, just as the Bible said, and the scripture teaches that He would come and bring peace to all those who would trust in Him. It is a peace that transcends any attempt of anything that this world can offer unto us. Jesus brings us peace. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and that by believing may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing in Christ and knowing Him, the baby Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, brings about great peace in your life. It's a wonderful truth. And John 14:26, this is a great verse. I love this verse. John 14:26, Jesus was getting ready to go back home. He's getting ready to ascend and head back to the Father. And Jesus said that He was going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Listen, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, because the world can't give it. He says, I give to you my peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Peace in the midst of the storms of life. Peace in the midst of all that's going on in this world. When this beautiful baby king, King Jesus, came, he gave us understanding. For 33 years, Jesus taught man the way of God. And one of the things is quite surprising. Hold your seat. Don't run out of here with your hair on fire. You're going to miss the punchline. When Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, came, he gave us an understanding regarding guilt. Regarding what? Guilt. Make no mistake about it. Every human being comes under this emotion called guilt. It is a horrible feeling. It is a terrible pressure. Guilt causes people to kill themselves. Guilt causes people to kill others. Guilt causes people to act in ways and beyond who they should be in life. People hold guilt, store up guilt. Why? Listen carefully. When Jesus Christ came, he not only announced to us the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the wonderful, beautiful life that God offers to us and the peace of God, but when Jesus Christ came, he is our way out of guilt. Guilt is this. If I were to say to you, don't cross this line, I don't want you to cross the line. I tell you what, God said, don't eat of this tree to Adam and Eve. Don't eat the fruit. What happened? They ate. If somebody says, don't cross this line, you can be 5 years old. You can tell the kid, don't cross this line. You can run around through the entire sanctuary, but don't cross this line. That little kid will go, all of a sudden, the whole sanctuary doesn't matter anymore. It's that line. And they'll get just like this. Have you ever had kids? You know what I'm talking about? And they'll even lean over the line. The moment they cross the line, right now, at that point, it's the battle of the wills and obedience. Should I not? And they cross the line. When they cross the line, basically they're saying, what are you going to do about it? Are you big enough? You're 215 pounds. Are you big enough to take on my 22 pounds? Huh? Come on. You can almost see the little kid there with his diaper smoking a cigar. Come on. Are you ready? Come on. Take me on. Where does that come from? It's inside the human hearts. As cute as they are, they'll cross that line. And listen, they know they've done wrong. They know they've done wrong. But if that's left alone, guilt begins to acquire. Guilt begins to store up. A child, a person, a man, a woman laden with guilt, it begins to affect their emotional state. It begins to affect how they deal with people. Jesus Christ amazingly showed us that when someone was righteous, self-righteous, I should say, in the Bible, they were very impressed with themselves. What did Jesus do? He preached to them the law, didn't he? He preached to them the Ten Commandments. Why? How do you bring somebody, or how do you see somebody who's very proud and impressed with themselves and get them to the place of understanding that they need the salvation that Jesus brings? Answer, the law. Did you know that you cannot get to heaven by keeping the law? Not any one of us. No one can keep the law. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to convict us of our wrong. Now listen, the moment we realize, as Paul said, I didn't know I was sinning until the commandments were there, and then sin revived within me. And what did it do? The Bible says that it drove him to Christ. Our culture is so messed up that what we do, we remove the Ten Commandments from the public place, and then we scratch our head wondering, how could people take a gun and blow people up in the mall? Take out the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, one of them says, thou shalt not murder. Right? Oh, no, you can't have that. It might offend somebody. So let's remove the Ten Commandments and tell the kids, you can do anything you want because you're just an animal. Your forefathers are not the creation of God. Your forefathers crawled out of a primordial hole, and you're just a really good-looking monkey. That's all you are. And nothing's required of you. Look out for number one. Eat, drink, and be merry. There's no standards that you need to be held accountable to. You're just an animal, a highly evolved animal. So when somebody realizes, you know what, my life stinks, there's no hope for me, there is no God, there's nothing for me to do to get a brand new life, they either kill themselves or they kill others and then kill themselves. And the system scratches its head and said, how did this happen? Here's my plea. Government leaders, will you go back to the what was it, 1963? I forget when it was. But can you go back and look at the data? This is a challenge to any of you sociologists. If you want to go check this out, go look at the societies and in the schools where God's Ten Commandments were in the classroom and then it was taken out. I want you to look at the graph of violence and pregnancies and evil that has arisen in the public place since then. That's a challenge. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong what I'm telling you. You remove that kind of a standard, the Ten Commandments, and people will do whatever they want to do. You see, well, the Ten Commandments can't make anybody pure. I understand that. The Ten Commandments says you shouldn't mess around with your neighbor's wife. The reason why the society has a problem with that is because messing around with their neighbor's wife is what they want to do and what they want to make movies about and what they want to indulge in. So we got to remove the Ten Commandments. See, if it's up there, it causes people to have to think. It causes a sense of guilt and conviction. Baby Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, to free us from the law, to free us from the guilt. Wouldn't it be amazing if my car would have rolled across that crosswalk as it did, and that officer jumps out of there with his badge? He's got his badge, he's got his book, and the judge walks up and says, hey, it's okay, I'll take care of this right here, right now. And I would say, don't take me to jail, don't take me to jail, you know? Oh, no, I'm not taking you to jail. I'll take care of this. I'm stepping in, and I will be the advocate, judge, and jury right here, right now. It's done. Canceled. Officer, have a nice day, and don't cross into crosswalks again. Go. That's what Jesus did for us. And if you understand that, it sets you free. Jesus brought that to us, for us. Secondly, the understanding of forgiveness. The understanding of forgiveness. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, therefore it says, let it be known to all of you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, who has preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's awesome. Jesus, the baby at Christmas, came and delivers us from what was due to us. That is the Christmas story. That is salvation. That is forgiveness. And we're freed. He issues forgiveness. That's why the Bible says, love one another, forgive one another. Why should I? That guy upset me. Did you and I, didn't we together upset God at one point in time? Yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called His Majesty, the Coming King. It's a special series we're presenting as we celebrate the Christmas holiday. Again, the title, His Majesty, the Coming King. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, His Majesty, the Coming King, this current series, is available for you to buy on DVD. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then go to the Resource Center. It's real easy once you get to the website. Then remember the title, His Majesty, the Coming King, on DVD. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.